going story. Very interesting story. And the Bible story is prophetic. Who can tell me what prophetic means? Denim, do you know what prophetic is? Okay, that's honest. Who can help me with that? What is prophetic? Erica, what's prophetic?
Smart?
Yeah, definitely smart. It's God's part, right? You see, God knows, He knows everything that's in the past. He knows what's gone on before. He knows about things right now. And He knows about things in the future. And He sees it clear. He sees it exactly the way it will happen. And so, this story that we're going to have in Daniel chapter 2 is going to tell the king what will happen in the future. Exactly. Okay? That's what prophetic is. Looking ahead. And people can't do that, can they? Some people think they can, but they often, when they try, they get it wrong. And only God really knows the future. And He tells it to us so that we can trust His word. Okay, let's pray, shall we? Our Father, we pray for this time that You would settle our hearts and minds. Help us to receive the word that You have for us this morning. Make it understandable, we pray for these children. Help us all to take it in and be encouraged from it. In Christ's name. Amen. So, let me just test this a little bit. Yeah, okay. So, we're going to get into a dream in a little bit here. Just a minute, okay? And we have a rule here. Denim, you tell me what it is. Before you speak, what do you do? Mm-hmm. There you go. Okay, remember that, okay? So, before we get into this, I want to just say, remind you, how many of you were here for Daniel chapter 1? Okay, a couple. Some of you don't remember, okay? Logan, were you here for Daniel 1? Remember the part where they were slaves taken to Babylon? Remember that? Don't remember, okay. All right, well then let's review quickly. Daniel had three friends. Do you remember their names? What were their names? Okay, all right. Their actual names were Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. It's a hard name to remember, these Hebrew names. But then the king of Babylon changed their names to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you know, for these three Hebrew boys, this was a sad thing. You see, their names were all names that honored God, Jehovah, as God. And this king gave them names to give them a new identity. He didn't want them to remember the true God. He wanted to bring them into his land with their idols and their false gods. And so he gave them new names that would help them forget who they were. But these men, Daniel and his three friends, they did not want to forget how good God was. But terrible things had happened to them. They'd been taken from their home. They'd been taken away from their land. And now they were in a strange place in a country where they didn't even speak their language. How would you like that if you were in a land like that? Where they didn't even speak English. How would you like that? And if you were taken away from your mom and your dad and your family and your lands and your places, all the places that were familiar to you, and now you're in a strange place, being ordered around by a king who does not love God. Wouldn't that be hard? Yeah.
And you wouldn't know what he would say.
Right. And so, and then they wanted to give them food that was offered to idols. And Daniel and his friends, they thought, no, we can't do that. That would displease God. And so they asked the leader of the steward that was over them, please give us vegetables and water. Is that what you're going to say? And so the steward was very slow to do that. He thought, well, you might look really poor, and the king would be very unhappy with me if I do that. But Daniel was wise, and he said, test us, and just see how it goes for a period of time. And so they tested him, and after the test was over, do you know what? God, what?
They looked even better than the people.
They did. They looked 10 times better. Now, who do you suppose made that happen? Do you think it was because the vegetables were all that great? Who do you think it was? Because of God. How many of you think it was because of God? Yeah, I think so. So, God was with them. Now, here's the amazing thing. God was at work in a very special way, not only with these four Hebrews, these young men, older boys. God was also at work with the whole nation of Israel. God was also at work in the whole Gentile nation of Babylon. And God would be at work with four kingdoms. And at the end of the second kingdom, God was going to bring Israel back to their land, renewed and loving the Lord a whole lot more than when they went. Now that's an amazing miracle in itself. You see, God is doing great things, wonderful things. And this story is just a small little part in this grand plan of God. And you know, that's true of you and me. God is working with nations and peoples everywhere. And he wants to bring all these people to himself. But you know, in all of that, he doesn't forget about you, Serena, Harry, Erica, Denham, Nolan, Logan. Yes, even you, Jordan. God doesn't forget you. He's working in your lives, just like he was in these four Hebrews. It's an amazing thing. I mean, God is great, but he doesn't forget the details of our life. And so we can come to him with our request. Isn't that a wonderful thing? All right, so let's see here. Now, in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. How many of you ever had a bad dream and woke up and you couldn't sleep? How many of you ever had that happen? Ever had a bad dream? Ever wake up? Yeah, okay. We've had it, right? And it's so, you wake up, you think, oh, that seemed so real. That was really a scary dream. And then you realize, it was just a dream. But you know Nebuchadnezzar, this king, did you notice that it said he had dreams? It seems, from what I gather as I read this, that God was giving him a dream over and over again. Because God had a message for this king, and he was sending it through the dream. And the dream really got this king upset. And he couldn't sleep. So the king gave the command to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans to tell the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, I have had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. So he knew this dream was very important, not like a normal dream. And so he called for all the wise men of Babylon, all the smart people, all the people who had wisdom and insight and understanding. He called for all of them, and he said, come in here, please. And he said, I've had a dream, and I want to know what the dream means. So the Chaldeans, these would be the people of his kingdom, said to him in Aramaic, that's another language, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation. Okay. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, My decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. Kind of like when you have a fire pit. Like ash. You know, the fire pit, there's ash. He was going to burn their houses down and cut them up in pieces if they couldn't tell him two things. They had to tell him the dream, and then they had to tell the interpretation. And he said, however, if you tell the dream and its interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and the interpretation. Well, how do you get inside the king's head and find out what was his dream? They answered again, let the king tell the servants the dream, and we will give its interpretation. Then the king answered and said, I know for certain that you would gain time, because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me, there is but one, only one decree for you. For you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know you can give me the interpretation. Well, the king was right, wasn't he? You know, I mean, how do you really believe these lying, wise people who think they're so smart? How do you know they're not just telling you a fib, right? And so he said, you can't tell me the dream. Well, then I don't think I can believe your interpretation. And so the wise men were in a little bit of a bad way, weren't they? They had a little problem because the king had unmasked them.
What does that mean?
Unmasked means he had revealed that they were simply frauds or fake. They weren't very wise at all, were they? So the Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. Well, some of these wise people were sorcerers, which means they were involved with occult things like witchcraft and that sort of thing. And so they were very familiar with false gods. And they probably spoke with evil spirits, some of these so-called wise men. And if they really, if it was really true what they were saying, why didn't their spirits and their gods tell them the dream? You see, their gods were false. They were not real, were they? They were fake. And these people were fake. They were not wise, they were foolish. And the king was beginning to see this and understand this. And so he was not happy. And for this reason, the king was angry and very furious and gave the command to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So a decree, like a new law, went out and it began killing the wise men. And they were looking for Daniel and his companions, his friends, to kill them too.
Why?
Because they were some of the wise men, remember? And so Daniel now and his friends were in trouble too.
They really were really
Well, not the end of the story, is it? There's one thing that this king didn't know about yet. But God was going to show him who the one true God is.
Yeah.
And the one who can tell secrets, who knows what's in the dark, who knows what's in our heads, who knows everything about us, the king, and you and me, everyone. Yes, Erica? Yeah? So then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard. Go ahead, put your hand up. And he had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. So there's Arioch right there. He was the one that was in charge of killing all the wise men. And so he came out, and Daniel met him. And he said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree from the king so urgent? Why is he in such a hurry? And then Arioch told Daniel what the king had commanded. And so Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Now, the only thing that I can think of, because the king was really mad and really furious, is probably not in the mood to give anybody more time, is that God gave a special favor to Daniel. God was at work, you see, and working these things all out. And so the king gave Daniel time. So Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek the mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So, when he told... Remember, right? Okay, so he went back right away and told his three friends, and Daniel knew they would pray. Yes, sir? Well, we're getting there. Are you getting excited about it? Yeah, it's very interesting. Yes?
I know what it is.
Okay, well, just keep it a secret, okay? All right. You see, because right now, even Daniel and his three friends don't even know it. Right? Because God didn't reveal it to him right away. And what right now, when we, you know, what did these four men really need to do? What was really important right then? Because right now the king wanted to kill him, right? Right? So what did they need to do? The king had a dream. Nobody knows what the dream was. The king says, you got to tell me the dream and tell me what it means. What did these four men need to do? Dinner. They need to pray. Is that what you were going to say? They needed to pray. Has that ever happened to us?
Yes.
I remember one time, a counselor at Storybook Camp. He was out with his daughter in a boat, and the wind came up on the lake and started to blow them into the weeds. And they kind of rolled back out, and the wind would blow them back in the weeds. And he'd roll back out, and the wind would blow them in the weeds. And finally, his daughter said to him, Dad, all we can do is pray. Pretty smart, right? And then the wind stopped and they were able to roll back to camp. You know, there are some times when all we can do is pray, right? Because things are happening that we can't do anything about. Their lives were in danger. They were in a foreign land. Their mom and dad was far away. They had no help. And now the king's strong, mighty, powerful warrior, Arioch, was going to kill them. And they had no answer. So all they could do was pray. And that's what they did. They prayed fervently and urgently. They asked God, please, give us the secret. So the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. God gave Daniel the answer to his prayer in the night vision. Daniel could see it in his mind as he slept that night. He woke up and he remembered and he knew that God gave him the secret. And so What's the first thing Daniel said? I got to get to the king. What's the first thing he did? What's the first thing?
He said thank you.
He said thank you.
So
yes. He blessed the God of heaven. Isn't that a great thing? When God answers your prayer, don't forget to thank him. Right? Thank you, Lord. And this is some more of what he said. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what was asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's demands. It was no longer a secret, was it? What's that? Well, we're going to talk about it right now. So therefore, Daniel went to Arioch, and whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said to him, thus to him, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king. I will tell the king the interpretation. Oh, man, Arioch, he must have been very happy, don't you think?
He didn't want to kill
us. Do you think he kind of took Daniel in kind of slow-like or like quick? Yes.
I don't think he wanted to kill those people. But he didn't want to kill himself.
Yeah, I know. Once the king got angry, who knows when the killing would stop, right? Well, Arioch quickly brought Daniel before the king and said thus to him, I have found a man of the captains of Judah who will make known to the king the interpretation. Well, is that really true? Is Arioch the one who found Daniel, or did Daniel find him? Sometimes people try to put the best spin on it for themselves, but anyway, so be it. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? King was very firm on this. And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, none of the wise men of Babylon could learn. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. And he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Did you know that the God of heaven is mentioned six times in the book of Daniel? The God of heaven. Heaven is over the earth, isn't it?
Yeah,
it is. You know, sometimes kings, or great people, they get a kind of a kingdom on earth, and they think they're pretty great, and they forget that there's a God in heaven. And God of heaven, over all, was going to show this king that he was just a little part of a great plan that God has for this earth to save us and to bring us to himself. This king had to be humbled. You know, sometimes we need to be humbled too. Last week, Mr. Greg Deeks gave us a message on the importance of humility in restoration. I don't know if you remember. Some of you kids, you were in Sunday school, but some of you older ones were with us. God needs to teach us to be humble before him. And so, it's neat the way Daniel said to this king, it's God who will reveal the secrets. He didn't go in there and say, I have the secret, and he didn't take the credit, did he? Who did he give the credit to? You can just point. Yeah. He gave all the credit to God. And that's what we need to do too in our life. So he said to the king, O king, you were watching and behold a great image. This great image whose splendor was excellent. It stood before you and its form was awesome. So Erica, here we are. This is what the dream, this is what he saw. the image, you see it right there? That was what he saw in the dream. He saw it several times, I think more than once. And the image of the head of this image was a pure, fine gold. And then the chest and arms were of silver, and the belly and the thighs were of bronze. You know what bronze is? It's kind of a brownish gold metal.
It's the color of the
kind of like copper. Yep. And it's legs of iron. You know what iron is? Iron's not very pretty, but it's very strong, right? And then the feet, partly of iron and partly of clay. Okay, now that's what the dream was. But there's a little bit more to this dream that the king saw that really scared him. You know?
It was falling apart.
Watch and see. You watched while the stone was cut out without ends, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. This rock just came out of nowhere. There was no hands, no hammer and chisel, nothing. It just came out of nowhere and knocked this great image to pieces. And the broken and crushed image, the wind carried away, so that there was no trace of them to be followed. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. Wow, that's quite a dream, isn't it? Now, do you think Daniel would have been able to tell what that meant without God's help?
No.
I don't think so. But the amazing thing is that God not only told him the dream, but he told him exactly what it meant. Now we're going to find out. So he said, "You, O king, are the king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. Wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field, the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand, and has made you ruler over them all. You are the head of gold." All right, so this head of gold right here, that was Nebuchadnezzar. He was like the king of kings. He had a beautiful empire. Do you know that in Babylon, where he reigned, that it was considered to be one of the seven wonders of the world, of the ancient world? They had hanging gardens, palaces, fountains, probably had all kinds of wealth and wonderful things in that city of Babylon. And it was impressive and very, very wealthy and rich. And yet, all of that was given to this king by God. And God is telling him, "You are the head of gold of this image that you saw. But after you," God told Daniel to say to him, "there shall arise another kingdom, not as great as yours." So you see, this king Nebuchadnezzar was only going to be around for about 86 years. His kingdom would last about 86 years. And that was it. And I don't think this king Nebuchadnezzar was even going to last that long, because his son was... His descendants took over after he was dead and gone. But God is showing him, this won't last forever. And that's the mistake that a lot of people make. They think that all the things of this world are going to last forever. They're very short. Things of this world are going to pass away. And that's what God was telling this king. Another kingdom will come. And it was shown like the arms and the chest were of silver, an inferior kingdom, not as good, but strong. And then a third kingdom that was shown in the bronze part, not as strong, but very strong. And that would be another kingdom represented by Alexander the Great of Greece. And then the fourth kingdom, which many believe to be the Roman Empire, go back here, would come and break in pieces and crush all the other kingdoms. So this fourth one would be the strongest of all. Okay? So there you have it. So the gold would be Babylon, the silver part would be Medes and Persia, the third would be Greece, the fourth would be Rome. And then it says that Daniel prophesied that of the fourth kingdom, one more kingdom that would come out of the fourth kingdom was described as the 10 toes of this big statue. 10 toes. And that those toes would be made of iron and clay. Well, iron doesn't mix with clay. If you melt them in a fire, they won't stick together. They fall apart. And so they would, this kingdom that would come out of that would be partly strong and partly weak. Do you know, kids, do you know that that has not come to pass yet? These four kingdoms, the first four, they've come and they've gone. Nebuchadnezzar is a long time ago finished. And then came the Medes and Persians, and they came and they're gone. And then came the Greeks. Alexander the Great, that great army of the Greeks came. And you know what? They're gone. Then came the great Roman Empire. Oh, they were the ones that crucified the Lord Jesus, remember? Oh boy, they thought they were the strongest yet. But you know what? They're gone. But out of Rome, there's going to come another. There's going to come another group of nations, 10 of them, 10 kings, that will come in the last days. And they will try this one more time to make a worldwide kingdom. It's going to be a satanic, wicked kingdom. And it's coming. Daniel spoke of it to the king. The toes of the fourth kingdom and his kingdom will be partly strong like iron and partly weak like clay. This kingdom will come to power in the latter days. Okay? Does that look like a good kingdom? The one in charge of that kingdom is described in the Bible as a beast. He's like a fierce animal that destroys and eats up his enemies. He'll be a wicked, satanic man. But you know what? We don't have to be afraid because God's in charge. And God told Daniel to tell the king, this stone which will come out of the mountain, which God will throw at these great, mighty powers and destroy them, that stone will be raised up into a kingdom. Who in the Bible is described as a stone? Who's the rock of our salvation? Yeah, David said, blessed be the rock of my salvation. And he is a mighty rock. And so this rock is the one who will have a kingdom that will never fail. It will reign forever and ever. Jesus began that kingdom on earth when he taught people to trust in him, trust in the salvation that he was bringing. Then one day he will come from heaven with his disciples and those who trust in him, and he will come back to this earth and set up that kingdom. Won't that be a wonderful day? Mm-hmm. And he will reign on the earth for 1,000 years. And after that, will be taken up into the glory. So inasmuch as that stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. That's the way it is with God's word. Everything about God's word is certain, and sure, you can trust him. Would God lie to us? No. He cannot lie. God cannot lie. His word is truth. So, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, when he heard these things, he was absolutely astonished. The king, who is described to us as the King of Kings, prostrated. What does that mean? Prostrated himself. What do you think? What? Nope. Nope. Erica? Nope. Nope. Look at him.
Person?
Yeah. He got down on his knees. He got down on the floor. He got down way down below Daniel and prostrated before Daniel. And then he commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. The king answered Daniel and said, "Your God is the God of gods." He found his voice. "Truly your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and revealer of secrets, since you can reveal the secret." Well, this king was very impressed that God had revealed this. And so suddenly now, he's thinking that Daniel's God is the God of all the gods. You see, this king had an idea that there were other gods yet. And so God is showing to him that your gods are nothing. That there is only one true God who can reveal secrets and who can move nations and kings and can move all these things. There's only one God who is the God of heaven. So this king is starting to learn, but God has got more lessons for him. Did you know that? Some really important lessons yet. Humility. And bowing his knee to the one true God. That's what God deserves from us, don't you think? Don't you think he deserves for us to bow our knees? By the way, were you afraid of ever bowing your knees? Do you ever do that at bedtime? Just kind of get down and say, "Dear God, you're a wonderful God. You are so great." Do you ever do that? We should do that. Do you know that? We really should. All right, so what happened next? The king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. He made him the ruler over the whole city of Babylon.
So he made him king?
No, he just gave him a position of authority, and he made him chief administrator role over all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego over the affairs of the provinces of Babylon, province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gates of the king.
What does that mean?
Well, he had a special place where he was probably giving counsel and advice to the king. The king, he had, when he wanted to ask a hard question, he'd go to Daniel. Now, I'm going to tell you something very interesting. I just discovered this yesterday for the first time. When you start to figure things out in Daniel, you look at this might be for you adults. You know, the captivity of God's people didn't happen all at once. It happened in phases. First, the nobility was arrested and taken captive, and then later on, another mass of Jewish people were taken to Babylon. Before the big captivity began, Daniel was already in a place of authority in the province. In fact, he was in place 28 years before the rest were brought into captivity. Now, isn't that interesting that God already had in place a man who loved God's people, and who is the chief magistrate of that province? Isn't that something? God was at work. He was at work not in just four young men, but he was at work in the nation of Israel. He was in the work of the king of Babylon to bring him to himself and to bring a testimony to the world, to the ancient world of his greatness. Truly, he is a great God. All right, we're going to pray. You are very good listeners. Our Father, we thank you for your blessing, for your word, for teaching us things from words of truth. And we just pray, Lord, that we would bow our knees and acknowledge your greatness in our lives. And we would thank you like Daniel did when you reveal things to us, because these things are from you. And we just give you all the glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray.
Are we done?
We are done.
We are done.
We are done.
Erica?
We gotta have one like Logan on our hands.
It'll be easier to teach too, because you know, it's like
yeah, I hope so.